हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
श्री कृष्ण संदर्भ Adhyayana 3, Adhikarana 1, Supremacy of the Name and Form of Krishna, page 16. Okay. Rama's names include the results of all includes the results of all results of japa mentioned in the Vedas. Since the latter, is that one word? The other one was saffron. Where did you get this?
Buddha, Lord Buddha.
Oh, in the Buddha box. Oh, okay. I meant under the Buddha box. This came. Thank you. Rama's name includes the results of all results of japa mentioned in the Vedas. Since the latter, Rama's name is stronger than the former, Vishnu's names, then there's no contradiction about the greatness of the name of Rama. Even though the name of Rama has all other names as its limbs because it is full of all Shakti like the name of Krishna, the result will be that given by typical limbs by treating similarly to other names. For instance, if Vishnu is worshipped as a component of sacrifice, he gives only Swarga, though he is also the giver of liberation. Though a person may chant the name of the Lord in chanting the Vedas, that person will not attain more than Brahma Loka. Certainly one who chants the name of Rama once attains the full effects of chanting Vishnu's other 999 names, which are included in Rama's name. The result of chanting the 1,000 names, which includes Krishna's name, is not more than chanting 999 names for an ordinary person, even if he chants 1,000 names intending them for Vishnu. For ordinary people who do not recognize the special nature of names like Keshava, though it is the name of Krishna, the result is the same as for chanting the names of other avatars, Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami describes the names commonly used for both Krishna and Vishnu, and those that are specifically used for Krishna only in Lagu Bhagavatam. Okay. Text 68-69. Now hear about Krishna being the cause of manifestation of all names. Some names of Narayana are used equally for Narayana and Krishna with the same cause. Some names are used for Krishna with a different cause. Purport. Now there will be an explanation of the phrase Tatra Tvakilanam Evasa Bhagavan Nam Nam Karanyan Yabhavan. Verse 46. Krishna is the cause of the manifestation of all the names of Vishnu. The names are of two types. Those who cause is the same for both.
Whose cause?
Those whose cause is the same for both, Narayana and Krishna. And those whose cause is different when referring to Krishna. 70-71. Examples of names used for both with the same cause are Daitrari, enemy of the demons, Pundarikaksha, lotus-eyed one, Sharangi, holder of the bow, Garuda Vahana, rider of Garuda, Pitambara, he who wears yellow cloth, Chakrapani, he who holds the chakra, Shriva Shankha, he who is ornamented with the Shrivatsa, Chaturbhuja, the lord of four arms. Because he is the son of Vasudeva, Krishna is called Vasudeva. Because he comes in the dynasty of Madhu, he is called Madhava. Now, names whose causes, specifically Krishna alone, are explained. Krishna is called Vasudeva and Damodar for these specific reasons. Harivamsa says, Krishna is named Damodar because he was bound up by a cord in the yard. In this way, he is glorified by the gopis. Harivamsa 2.7.36. The same work also says, Krishna, sleeping beneath a cart, killed the angry, strong, ferocious, demoness Putana, with huge body, who, wearing the dress of a nurse, had given her breast covered with poison to him. When the cowherd people saw that dead demoness and concluded that Krishna had been reborn, they called him Adhokshaja, born from beneath the axle of the cart. Harivamsa 158, 30-32. Sridhar explains in his commentary that Krishna was called Adhokshaja because he was as if born again under the axle of the cart. Lagu Bhagavatamrita, chapter 5, text 68-75. Right. So, we have all these different names, but some names are used in both. So that's why then here then the aspect of Krishna, the might be there in the Vishnu Sahasranam, but you have the aspect that in there Krishna can also refer to Vishnu, the 24 Vishnus, one of them is called Krishna, right? Has the name Krishna. So then you're still going to get that effect. So we're talking about, when you're talking about Krishna's name, in the context that is in relationship to Krishna and his pastimes as Bhagavan, rather than his pastimes as Paramatma, or the controller of that. Does that make sense? Yes.
So the point is, it depends whom we refer to, then the potency is there?
Yes. And it also means, and it's also, what's your reason for chanting it? Means like you have the person is chanting, you know, the Vedas for, you know, even though he's chanting Vishnu's names, but by doing those particular yajnas and that, the maximum he can get is elevation of the heavenly planets or up to Brahma Loka. That's as far as he can get. Right? It won't take him beyond that. Because that's, one, that's his intention. So even though the names are there. So when you're talking about Krishna specifically, so the Hare Krishna mantra is talking about Krishna specifically. So then even an ordinary person chants that, they get the agyata sukriti of moving forward in bhakti rather than in karma or jnana. Does that make sense? But if someone, let's say, is a sadhana, is chanting it specifically for that, then they'll get that result. Because the name of Krishna and Rama are also then have that aspect, they can be applied to Vishnu. Something sense. So he's making a distinction to show there's a hierarchy, but at the same time as you're pointing out, so that Krishna's name itself has that unique position. Because what you're pointing out is Krishna, what was the term used before you had Tarak Brahmanam? What was the other term?
Paraka
Brahmanam. So Paraka means that which gives prema. And Taraka means which gives liberation. So Ram's name will give liberation. Krishna's name will give prema. Does that make sense? So you can say it's Ram's name is there in the Hare Krishna mantra, and from that you'll be liberated from material existence, and then through Krishna nam you'll get prema. Or at the same time as then Rama can be, you know, the Krishna's name is Radha Rama. So it's just a matter of how you're seeing. But in any case, so you don't see in that way still, then one is chanting under the direction of the acharyas, so therefore then one will get that benefit. Does that make sense? Move forward until one comes to that point, and then. So he's just distinguishing, you know, it means that things get finer. So it's a, you know, being just introduced, as it goes, then it will be more, you know, as we hear more and more, we're more familiar with it, then it will become more obvious. What he's trying to point out is that in the Vedas, then you'll have all the different names of the Lord. But let's say all those names, like Madhvacharya points out, all those names of the demigods that are mentioned are all Krishna, because the potency of that demigod is coming from Krishna. He's just a jiva. How is he Indra? He's not Indra on his own potency. He's Indra because the potency of Krishna to control the universe is invested in him. So you're referring to him as Indra, meaning the jiva who has that potency given by Krishna to manage the universe. So actually Krishna is the Indra. But, you know, the demigod's there, he's doing the work, so he gets credit. Does that make sense? So, if you're looking at it from the karma, then they're going to look at it from that side and just see the demigod, and that's all the farther they'll get. If they're seeing it in connection with the Upanishads, and then taking it further, that is coming from Vishnu, and that then the maximum they can get is liberation. Like that? Does that make sense? And then, but if you're seeing it as a devotee, that it's a name of Krishna's name in this way, but we're focusing on Krishna. We're seeing it as an anga of Krishna's name. Right? Therefore, then, you know, one is has that aspect. So, yeah. In Nama Kaumudi, it is said that one should not make distinctions in the capacity of the name to destroy anarthas, whether it's chanted in knowledge or in ignorance. However, there is a difference in the effects of chanting ignorance or knowledge and bestowing prema. Since Krishna's name can also give ordinary results by being included in the thousand names, it is correctly said that 1,000 names of Vishnu is equal to a name of Rama. Actually, however, the results of Krishna's names are much more than all the names of all the avatars and their sources, since he is Swayam Bhagavan. Udvriti. Srila Rupa Goswami elaborates on this aspect of the Laghu Bhagavatamrita as follows. Bilva Mangala describes Krishna. There may be many avatars of Krishna delivering auspiciousness everywhere, but other than Krishna, who gives prema even to the creepers? Maybe put a comment after that, Krishna. Purport. Now begins an explanation of Krishna's Paravasta. Though it is said in Ramayana that the trees and other plants wept when Rama went to the florist, they wept out of sorrow on separating from Rama on one occasion. Whereas the reaction of the trees in relation to Krishna, however, is daily, even on meeting Krishna. This is understood from the following verse. My dear Krishna, what woman in all the three worlds wouldn't deviate from religious behavior when bewildered by the sweet, drawn-out melody of your flute? Your beauty makes all three worlds auspicious. Indeed, even the cows, birds, trees, and deer manifest the ecstatic symptoms of bodily hair standing on end when they see your beautiful form. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:29-40. The creepers and trees of the forest, their branches weighed down by rich offerings of flowers and fruits, seem to manifest Lord Vishnu within their hearts. Exhibiting eruptions of ecstatic love upon their bodies, they poured down rains of honey. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:35-9. The associates of Krishna, during prolonged separation from him, remained in existence with only the beauty of Krishna constantly in their minds. This shows his superiority to Rama. Statements such as the following show Krishna's supreme position. What austerities must the gopis have performed? Their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever fresh, and extremely rare. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:44-14. The words Pushkara Nabhasya usually refer to the Purushavatara with a lotus growing from his navel. The Purushavatara is the source of the other avatars. This is the conventional meaning. However, it also refers to Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, who has a lotus-like navel. Swayam Bhagavan, who is the source of the Purushavatars and who became visible in this world to Bilva Mangala. Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Chapter 5, Text 35. Right, so that means that's a name that's used by both. So in here when he says Paravasta, an explanation of Paravasta, then what is the context he's saying that?
This is the description of Paravasta forms in Chapter 5.
Oh, okay, so he's talking about the Paravasta.
Then comparing between the three Paravasta forms, Rama, Krishna, and Narsimha, comparing who is higher.
Okay.
Then he quotes this verse. Like Narsimha has more excellence of power, and Rama has sweetness, but Krishna excels sweetness even in Rama.
Purva Paksha. It is said that all desires are fulfilled by the final oblation, which is just part of the Darsha Purnamasi sacrifice. This, of course, is exaggerated praise. The same can be said about statements concerning Krishna's or Rama's name, right? Uttara. That is not so. After Parvati recited the 1,000 names, Shiva made her chant the name of Rama once as she was about to eat. Becoming successful by that, he said that she could eat with him. Thus, exaggeration concerning Krishna's name also is completely rejected. The explanation of the 6 verses from Bhagavad Gita, starting with Ishvara Sarvabhutanam, should be discussed. Someone may say that the verse Ishvara Sarvabhutanam actually means that the Lord is indeed everything and one should worship him with that idea. The Paramatma form is ultimate. This worship is tinged with jnana. But in the same section, Krishna teaches pure bhakti, indicated by man manabhava madpaktaha as the greatest secret, sarva guhyatamam, which distinguishes jiva from the Lord. Or it may be explained that the Lord is described indirectly in the first verse, then directly in man manabha. Thus, the proposition of Paramatma or Antayami is the highest realization, is rejected. Previously, manmanabhava madpaktaha was stated in chapter 9. Thus, pure bhakti to Bhagavan was already indicated as the highest. And previous to that, it was mentioned that Bhagavan is also the Antayami with adhiyagyoham evatra dehe. I'm the Lord of sacrifice in the body, Bhagavad Gita 8.4. And there would not be any sense to the word more secret and most secret by interpreting the first form mentioned as ultimate. What was previously stated in a general way is pointed out in the conclusion with details. Right, so if you've already said that I am that Paramatma, and you're explaining on that level, and then he says, now I'll tell you something more secret, and then again, after explaining the most secret, then that means you wouldn't just take it and interpret it by the first point. Right? You know, it's like on the point also is that the latter statement is more important than the earlier statement. Right? So, in here then, as he's pointing out this manmanabhava madpaktaha, then that's going to be after this other one, because that's in chapter 8. Right? Does that make sense? And so you wouldn't say no, but then you're going back to that. So it's the highest, but he's already explained that in earlier chapters. So that means then you're building, and so then you would use that explanation.
Actually, then this last 18.61-66, those verses of Bhagavad Gita, they are like very, very deep and summarizing the whole conclusion knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
As it's described here.
Yes. It's also interesting, he again repeats that man manava bhava madbhakta.
And also it says, most secret means guhyatamam, means it's most secret. It says, sarva guhyatamam, means of all secrets, this is the most. When he's referring to himself, that's Swayam Bhagavan. Before that, most secret is the knowledge of Bhagavan. The Lord of Vaikuntha Bhagavan, in that sense you can say secret, more secret, more secret than sarva guhyatamam is referring to himself. It's described earlier. So everywhere it is this aspect of him being Swayam Bhagavan is there.
Yeah, so he's explaining, he's referring to himself, going back. Okay. Some say there is no such gradations in worship between Paramatma and Bhagavan. But because it is ascertained that there is a difference in the object of worship, distinguished as secondary and primary, there is difference in worship. One can conclude reasonably that the last mentioned form is primary object of worship, as in the case of phalam atta upapattehe. The Lord alone gives the results because that is reasonable. Brahma Sutra 3.2.39. Particularly the word tat, when describing Paramatma, does not indicate his highest form, but the word mat is used to indicate the final form, Bhagavan. By the Lord's neutrality in his first instruction and his absorption in the second instruction, be my devotee, etc., one realizes the first form, Paramatma, to be incomplete. That means Paramatma is an expansion of Krishna, so we see in that context, and that completeness is there in context with Krishna. But if you just see Paramatma on its own without Krishna, then that's incomplete understanding, just like Brahman is even less complete. Even though you're dealing with the absolute truth, you're only dealing with a portion of the absolute truth. Right? So even though he's unlimited, it's the person who's unlimited. So if we only catch the unlimited part, we're missing out on the person. We're catching the part where he's controlling everything, knows everything, you know, expands everywhere. But still, that's only a portion. It's the person who does that. The difference in the worship is supported by the use of the word eva. Thus, difference in the worship is directly indicated. The words sarva bhavena in relation to worship of Paramatma actually means by employing all the senses, rather than with complete bhava or prema. By indicating the secondary and primary forms of worship, the interpretation that one should worship the Lord as everything, which is tinged with jnana, is rejected. Right? You're not worshiping the Lord as everything. You know, like when Krishna talks to the gopis, it's everything, it goes back to Krishna. It means it's all expanding from him. Does that make sense? So when you bring that out so much, because that's what we were saying before, is that the jnana, they're emphasizing on the, you know, the all-pervading aspect and these kind of points like that. Though they may recognize it comes from the person, but the emphasis is on the all-pervading, and, you know, so everything is the Lord. And that way they stay on the transcendental platform. Does that make sense? But there's going to be a position beyond that, because Krishna says he is everything, but he is beyond that also. Does that make sense? So the jnanis, it's more on he is everything. And then you see, like with the pure devotees, then it's more about the person. So there's going to be a difference in the taste. Therefore, the one, the static position, is there, it's fully satisfied. But for the devotees above that, then it's service. They want, that creates the anubhava of service. While in the jnanis, it'll just create the anubhava of remembrance and absorption. Is that?
Yeah. So we give an Pancharatra as a method of worship.
Yes.
And we don't see changes like for neophytes, it's Pancharatra. For Madhyamas, it's Pancharatra. And for Uttamas, it's Pancharatra.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the reference here that the method changes? Is it like Vaidhi and Raga, or what would be the difference?
Yes, because when you're dealing with subtle things, the change is subtle.
Mm.
You know, it's just like, let's say you're cooking, right? Now let's say you use dry basil,
yeah,
right? Or you use fresh basil.
Yeah.
It'll give a different effect, but it's subtle.
Yeah.
So does that make sense? So it doesn't have to be gross. You can say, oh, it's the same recipe. Yes, but it has a subtle difference.
Mm.
You know, or the bay leaf, you put it in, you know, when you're boiling it, you put it into the chaunce. You're going to get a different effect. You know, but it's the same. It's technically, for someone who doesn't really comprehend, it's the same recipe. some sense.
Yeah.
You know, or using a fresh chili or a dried chili, it will give a different effect, even though it's still the same. Like that. So in here, then the subtleties is that when you're saying the primary and the secondary, so the primary means Krishna, the secondary means his expansions, even though they're all absolute, but in comparison, in context of him, they're secondary. But then you'll take all his expansions as primary, and then his energies as secondary. Right? Does that make sense? Then you'll take all his energies as primary, and then the external energy is secondary. Does that make sense? So it just depends on the context you have there. But all those contexts, you know, then in comparison with Krishna, then there everything else is relative. So in other words, he's the absolute, right? And then we as jivas, we're relative. Because our position is dependent upon, are we related to Krishna or not? If we are, we're on the spiritual platform. We're not, we're on the material platform. But Krishna is always absolute. So therefore, this aspect of primary and secondary has to be seen by us, because we have a tendency to, you know, think in that relative capacity. You know, it's like Prabhupada said, if the Westerners don't do something big here in Mayapur, then what's the point? You know, because they always claim, you know, we're so advanced, we're so special, we can do anything, we're the controllers of the universe. So then, you know, build a nice temple. You know, if they just come and sit under the tree and chant, then why the whole, you know, hubbub about being Westerners? You know what I'm saying? If all you can do is that we are Westerners, so then we can wear jeans. I mean, it's like, what specialness was that? You know? I mean, I've literally seen a dog wearing jeans. You know, somebody resized them so the dog can wear them. You know, they also had sunglasses. And a polo shirt. Yes.
The difficulty seems to be is that in specifically when Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Lagu Bhagavatamrita that the only absolute is Krishna in that Svayam Rupa form, then because as you mentioned, we are relative as jivas to the absolute who is Supreme Lord, that I mean intelligent person, decent person can accept. But then the difficulty comes is that he's the only absolute and all the Vishnus are relative to him. So that concept to especially to balance, because we had this discussion with the students the other day, with how to balance it with the Om Purnama Ta Purnama Idam verse, because it is also there. It's not like we can just, you know, deny it. So this discussion becomes, you know, somewhat difficult discussion, because if absolute is absolute in all of that, all of his forms, it should be absolute. Or if it's relative to the absolute, then, you know, who is that absolute? And Rupa Goswami establishes Swayam Krishna in Vrindavan as that absolute, but then everybody else, including Baladev, become relative to him.
Well, you have the aspect of that, because you're saying Om Purnam. It's the point is that completeness is there, but at the same time as there's also the aspect of the volume. So the jivas, they're coming from Krishna, they have that relative aspect, but they're infinitesimal. For all his personal expansions, they're all unlimited. Right? You know, the example is given of we light one candle, another candle, it still glows with the same potency. But it's still, there's an original candle. You know, if you ask where all these candles coming from, it comes from that original candle. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so you're going to have that point there. So that should, first of all, distinguish between the jivas and Vishnu.
Yeah.
because that you very much have to make. The other one, if you don't make, at least the absolute platform is appreciated, and one will go beyond the material realm, go back to the spiritual realm. But now when you distinguish within the spiritual realm of the moods, then you understand that Braja Krishna is the origin. He's the original. Because if you just want to mix them all up, then it doesn't matter. Then Vaikuntha is good enough. It means if you make no distinction, like I remember once here in Mayapur, it's been like, you know, some time back. And it was, I think it was the festival time, so everyone had come and visited. So there was this one girl, and her parents were, you know, she was about the age of getting ready for considering about, you know, marriage, you know, plans for marriage. And so then, what was it? Because this other family, I think the family was even staying with them. And the boy in that family was, you know, very kind of like very qualified young man. You know, he was intelligent, very attractive. You know, the family was, you know, very well situated. You know, so many things that you would consider, yes, would be a good idea for a husband, right? And they were family friends of this other family who had the daughter. And they happened to, you know, be staying there with them for the festival, you know, because, you know, nowadays it's like, you know, everybody can come and you still have a football field empty, you know. But, you know, when you go back some years, it was like the place was packed, you know. So they were staying there. And at the same time as so many other families were interested in that boy for their daughter. You know, so then naturally they'd be just, you know, it's festival and they've come to visit, so they would also drop in the house just to, you know, hey, how are you guys? You know, bringing their daughter along with, and, you know, it's like that. And so that girl in the house, then she would notice how he dealt with all the girls. Very nice, very, very, you know, very properly, you know, very cultured and all that, you know, what you would expect. But then after everybody's gone and it's just the family, she noticed he dealt with her exactly the same. No different. Because there was a discussion of possibly, you know, being an arrangement made between him and her. But even knowing that, he dealt with her in the same way as he dealt with any of these other girls, that it wasn't spoken, though it was an unspoken, you know, it wasn't kind of like that. So the girl declined because it wasn't anything different. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
You know, so point was is that if she was the girl he was going to marry, there should be a difference in how he dealt with her. But that official kind of very pleasant, very nice, very cultured, very gentlemanly dealings, that was the same for everybody. So therefore, it's not that with that you get the highest. No, you get the lowest common denominator. So therefore, if you make no distinction between Vishnu and, you know, and Rama and Krishna and Dwarka and Krishna and Vrindavan, then you're going to end up with Vishnu. Does that make some sense? So it has to be understood is that they have to, when they say absolute, what's their definition of absolute? If they say it's all one, then is that a personal definition or is that an impersonal definition? Because if it's all one, then it doesn't matter. Now I, as an individual, can do what I like on whether I worship this one or that one or take this one from here and that from there and put together my own hodgepodge of worship. You understand? So they will afford personalness to themselves, but with Krishna, it's impersonal. It's just absolute. So absolute has to mean this. You know? But there's a difference. It's just like, let us say the person cooks a lasagna. Okay? Now, can we not apply that invocation verse, the first verse of Ishopanishad to that lasagna? Is it not complete in itself? Means, it's so complete, it means, technically speaking, if it was just the boys, you could eat it straight out of the tray. You don't even need a plate or a fork, or either, you know what I'm saying? Basically, you need to get it out of the oven, because otherwise your head won't fit inside and it would be hard to eat. But other than that, you take it out, you could just sit it down and everyone could sit around and go at it, right? So it's complete in itself. If there's nothing else, that it's fine. But does that mean it's on the same platform as the person who made it? Right? So that's the whole thing, is that it's dependent upon the person who made it. So you have to understand, it's complete in itself and it runs on its own. That's Krishna's completeness, that what emanates from him is also complete, but it's still dependent upon him. Complete means its functions work. But here is that, if it's complete, then I can separate it from, like we are separating ourselves, and in that way, then we're complete. So therefore, you know, this is also God, we're also God. So all these are underlying, you know, impersonal concepts. They'll be trying to claim they're just talking logical, but no, they're not. It's completely motivated. Though it may not be, apparent to themselves, just because of the conditioning we get. We've been conditioned to karma and jnana for so long, we don't even know when we're doing it. You know, it's like sometimes you're doing something and it's become a problem, so it's been pointed out, so you want to correct it. And then you're doing it again. Someone has to tell you, hey, you're doing it again. Oh, yeah, right. And then you have to, you know. So it's just because we've been dealing with the impersonalism, the voidism for so long, that it just naturally pops up. So here you have this one definition, but what about for you? What about for us? Oh, no, that's a wide range, because we're a person, you have to consider this, consider that. But what about the absolute? It means if he is the source of everything, then that means that personal consideration comes from him. So otherwise, how is it we're complete, but he's not? We're complete, he's absolute. But in that absolute, he's not complete. Does that make some sense? Yeah, so it gets to be very subtle. That there's always that, you know, they have their idea, it's absolute. Because they wanna make their statement of absoluteness absolute. You know, because they said, well, then it means this. No, it doesn't. No, you said it's absolute. Yeah, it's absolute, but your statement's not absolute. You're not absolute. You're relative in the context of Krishna. So that's the first thing to understand, is the jiva's relationship with the Lord. Then we can get fine. So these fine points are there for the purpose of establishing Braja Krishna as the topmost worshipable object. That's the point of it. As far as the jiva surrendering to the Lord, you don't have to go to this fineness. This is to understand the mood, because then you're going to have the ashraya and the vishaya. So unless your vishaya is Braja Krishna, unless as an ashraya you see him as the only point of exclusive point of worship, how is there going to be rasa between the living entity and Krishna in Braj? So if you're seeing he's kind of a general absolute, and you're you're cool, then what's the alambana? What's the relationship? Right? You're cool and he's cool, and so then everything's cool, you know. So cool to be cool, and that's it. You know, and I'm not sure the Anu Bhavas are sitting there. The Satvika Bhavas is, you know, how you say, the aspect of, what would be the term, you know, just where you're just so relaxed, you're not. Yeah, like that. like that, and then in the Sanchari Bhavas, you know, you have the aspect of laziness, you have the aspect of the, you know,
boredom.
Yeah, so it means, you know, you have all kinds of means you can explain it, but Rupa Goswami doesn't explain it. So it's not. Does that make some sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because we get so absolute about our concept of absolute, even though for us, then our absolute position is relative to us appreciating Krishna's. Right. Yeah. Are we on the Uttara?
Yes.
Uttara. By such interpretation, one restricts the meanings of words. This is against ancient and modern views of the meaning. Oh no, we didn't do this. We didn't do this Purva Paksha. We're up farther. Where are we?
Yeah, Purva Paksha.
Oh, okay. We're up means okay. Oh, okay, because it has this here like this. We looked at the previous page, it almost looks the same. So it's like, okay.
It says in the paragraph before that, which starts.
The difference in the worship is supported by the use of the word Eva.
Particularly the word Tat. Tat when describing Paramatma, and then the word Ma. Ma, I understand from where it's coming, but where's this Tat coming from?
Om Tat Sat. Where is this?
Coming from.
But which paragraph are we on?
Before the 19, page 19, the fourth paragraph.
Oh, particularly okay. The when describing Paramatma does not indicate the highest form. You have Om Tat Sat.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So then Tat, but it may be also referring to a particular verse.
This, I think, is referring to 18.11 to 18.6166. There, the match is there. Before the verse, before that verse, some of the verses may be using that.
Yeah.
Ishvara, Ishvara Sarva Bhutanam Vritesha Natishtapur.
No. Well, you guys do that 8.4, and the Lord is sacrificed, so. Means that it'll be before that. He's pointing out because he's talking about the Paramatma, you know, how you have to surrender to him and everything like that. So then that brings you to the position of proper understanding of us as the jivas and how we serve the Lord, surrender to the Lord. Then he'll take it further and talk about, you know, yeah, going beyond higher than that to him, right? And then within that of him, then it'll be that aspect of Praj. Yes,
there's also a question. People will sometimes ask. For example, when we say Paramatma, when we pray for some things, specific things, and we address the Lord, it says that we actually pray to Paramatma because he is the one who gives concession. And some people might say that we pray to Krishna because it also depends whom we see when we are praying.
Right.
But it also depends what are we praying for and what's our mood. So to distinguish between these two, we have to address the mood and the form and also the scriptural statements, because here it's exactly this point is described.
Yes. Because it means speaking to Krishna, because it's Krishna. When you go in front of Radha Madhava, you're speaking to you know, he's Braja Krishna. But the point is if you're asking for, you know, how you say, a Mercedes-Benz, or, you know, they say. Yeah, I think that's the main one, isn't it? I think there's also one about motorcycle. So, then that means is that you pray to Krishna, but the thing is he's going to reciprocate, because you want something from here, then he's going to reciprocate as the Lord here, who sanctions here that you get things here. So you're always going to have that depending upon, sometimes it's more directly obvious, and sometimes you have that combination. So, you know, it's like that lady who was collecting firewood in the forest, right? She, you know, enthusiastic, got a huge bundle, somehow they got it on her head while she was carrying it. It fell off, she sat down and started crying and calling out to Krishna. Krishna showed up. You know, not Paramatma or not, you know, like this, but Krishna showed up. But then he asked her just to put that on his head. You know, so then, you know, he puts it and it disappears. Because then she's actually only dealing on a lower platform. Because otherwise you don't see that that's what happens of these others. You know, he stays a little longer and they have a chat. And, you know, there's some benedictions. You know. So the thing is Krishna includes all the others. So therefore, if you're dealing with him in that mood, that spontaneous mood, then he'll reciprocate in that. But if you're dealing with him on some other aspect, then that aspect Vasudev will arrange. You know, it's just like you see is that Krishna is arranging for you to get things. It's being done through the external energy because she's servant of Krishna. So according to Krishna's will, then she provides, you know, that's for the devotees. You know. But it's coming there. But we do see times when, like for Bilva Mangal, Krishna himself personally comes and brings the milk. He could have just had someone else come and bring the milk. Does that make sense? You know, or with Raghunath Das, then Krishna himself is personally, you know, scaring away the tiger, and Radharani is personally covering his head from the sun, or, you know, with Rupa Goswami, then Radharani is personally coming and giving things for cooking for Sanatana Goswami. Does that make sense? So he can do that, but if the mood is something, then he'll come in that form. You know, does that make sense? Because everything is Krishna. So therefore, in all aspects, he can manifest his himself through his potencies. You know, does that make sense? But at the same time, is he can personally be involved or personally just himself show up. So you always have that range depending upon our mood and surrender and all that. So the spontaneous doesn't mean whimsical, right? So the spontaneous means it's just that's natural. Sometimes. And in times we may have that mood, and Krishna reciprocates very nicely. But if we're not stable, then it won't be consistent. Right? So it might be there sometimes not. You see, sometimes you have an individual, he may be very enthusiastic in a certain service. You know, just ready to do anything. But in some other situations, he may be very reluctant. So that means that stability is not there. Otherwise, they'd always have that kind of mood. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it will be. It's a matter of Krishna just reciprocating. But the point here is that they're trying to bring out that Krishna and Vrindavan. Then that's the highest aspect. That's the most secret aspect, because it's all him. But this, understanding this, you're going to get the... Because if you only understand him on these lower levels, how he is the elements, how he is everything, and how like this, then you'll reciprocate on that level. Right? You understand him as liberation, you'll get that. You understand him as the Lord of, you know, Vaikuntha, and the greatest, and he'll reciprocate on that. You see him as Krishna, he'll reciprocate that. And you see him as Braja Krishna, that's another... Because Goloka means Krishna. And then you have a variety of levels of appreciation of Krishna. Then the Brajvasis, then they have their level. So, yes?
Also we see that in the Govinda Madhi Krishna Tamaham Bhajami, Krishna is the Swayam Rupa form, as Radha Krishna. He is the form of Lord. He is the deep form of Godhead.
Mm.
then all other expansions, they are expansions because the devotee's desire to worship him in those kind of forms. And Paramatma and Brahman is more because of the living entities in material world. Those who desire to be separate from the personal aspect of the Lord, and he has to manifest as Paramatma and Brahman. Otherwise, then in the spiritual world, they're abode in that aspect of relationships, how they form the dynamics. At one point, it mentioned that the Brahman manifests as the abode in the spiritual world.
Yes, everything's there. It's just that these features are there. So Balaram will be the Paramatma aspect, and then Krishna is the Paramatma.
It's in terms of Sambandham, Abhideya, and Prayojana, it becomes very clear that if we look at a general devotee, like we go to the temple and watch, so we worship the same form, Radha Madhava, we worship through the same method, Ashraman, Kirtan, Vishnu, Smarana. But everybody has their own idea whom we worship, who is that form. And although we're given that form as a Braja Krishna, it's obvious. That's why Srila Prabhupada didn't put Lakshmi Narayan on the altar. He put Radha Krishna on the altar, but then said, in the beginning you worship as Lakshmi Narayan, we saw in reverence. But then if we discuss with the devotees, some, even I've heard this, they don't see much difference between us and other monotheistic religions. They say it's more or less the same. We are more, you know, it's a cultural aspect, it's an Indian flavor, it's, you know, Asian this, that, but they don't see much difference. And then others, they say, yeah, it's more on the level of Brahman, who manifested through that particular form as Braja Krishna, but actually it's that. This is what's on the back of, and like this. So although the form and the method are the same for everybody, the idea that we carry, that defines where we're going. Or I was thinking, it's not necessarily at the end of life we just merge into Brahman or go to Swarga, or, you know, if we just take another birth and then study more Srila Prabhupada's book, and then we develop.
Well, for those who have developed faith, then that'll be the process. There's going to be that continuation like that. For the materialists, then they're going to be moving up and down in the samsara by the effect of their karmas that they performed, you know, so then. But yeah, so it's just once a jnana sukriti is there, it's just a matter of how many lifetimes it takes before it builds up and you know, it gets to the point where it becomes the prominent. Yes.
Also the aspect that we are given the same form and the same method, that's still in the sambandha. Unless the right emotions which we gain from the association of devotees in that line, which is the actual abhideya, then there is no knowledge and realization of the form as Swayam Bhagavan. Only then can we taste the Krishna in that mood, like the original way.
Yeah, because it comes down to, it means you're just refining the understanding, refining the mood, and refining the understanding of the goal. So that's all, nothing is changing, it's just getting finer and finer. Like Krishna said, you know, this is the knowledge, and this is the secret, this is the most secret. You know, like that, you're just going finer on it. Because otherwise, then, like you see, as devotees go off to this one and that one and different groups, and think it's all the same, or they're even getting something special and all that. But if you read how the acharya is explaining, no, they're just being distracted by some material aspect of theirs that this particular group fulfills. You know, and not necessarily that they're getting anything. You know, if they're dealing with sampradayak, then that's another thing, but then it's also going to flavor and mood where they're going. Because some say, oh no, we're all going to the same place, but we have to understand, Goloka is very big. You know, it's 51% of 3/4 of eternity. You know, so it's quite large. So then, where in that, who you're with, what's the mood? That's the fineness that we're dealing with. So that's why we're following very strictly in the footsteps, so that we're in that same place. We want to be there where Srila Prabhupada is. We want to be there where the Acharyas are, with Rupa Goswami as the head. We want to be at that spot. You know, and if they're comfortable being with someone else kind of being in that spot, it's not that, you know, they can't be, but it doesn't mean that we're necessarily going to do things together. You know, Maharasa, everybody's there. But on the daily rasa, everybody's not there. That makes sense. Yeah. And if you have a different mood, then you may be in a different feature. So you're going to be with those devotees. Yeah. So that makes sense. You know, like that. I mean, so if you're dealing in the pastimes where a Radharani on a swan airplane goes to the Rasa dance with 10 million maidservants, and yeah, then he could probably say, yeah, we'll all be there. You know, 10 million, okay, yeah, kind of everybody will fit. That makes sense. But Rupa describes a little bit smaller group. So it's just a matter of being exact. Means you remember Krishna, then you go, and then the point is because you're talking about exclusivity. That's what makes the difference. Means prema means it's exclusive. If it's rati is directed at Krishna, but it's not exclusive, it's not prema. So this exclusivity is very important. So that's what happens in Smarana Dasa. That the living entities, then being in their spiritual form, then how much are they absorbed in Krishna? So occasionally, you know, he says there's 5 levels of remembrance, right, according to the yoga. There's occasional, there's regular, then there'll be, occasional, regular, then they'll be kind of more focused, then they'll be absorbed, and then they'll be samadhi. So samadhi, that point, that brings you to exclusive. You know, that exclusive enough that you can take part in the pastimes. It's just about Krishna. Now the depth of that, the intensity, when that gets more, then that turns into prema. So if there's these general kind of ideas, then yes, one remembers Krishna, one will go back to Godhead, but one will have to go through all that to come to the point of prema. That's why there's Gokul. Gokul's there, so you can do all those things. Like, as we see, is some gopis were, you know, doing this and that. And they couldn't go to the Rasa dance because their focus was not exclusive. Right? So some that was, they immediately went, Yogamaya arranged. Some, it wasn't, but as soon as they were stopped in that, then their intensity of desire was so great, it came to the point of exclusive, and they were able to escape and go. But those who wasn't at that, they were locked up. Then in that state, then they came to that point of all their pious and impious activities all being destroyed. So then they could come to that point of exclusivity. Then on the next Rasadam, then they could go. Does that make sense? So the point is, you can say, but then does that mean we're not going to get? No, you get there. But the point is you're not going to get the prema where then you take part of the the apricot lila until you come to that point. That's where you say, now you're eternally situated there. Otherwise, yes, you're on the eternal absolute platform. You're in Vrindavan, you're in your spiritual body. You know, Krishna's associates are there. But the point is are you, you know, qualified to interact with them? You know what I'm saying? You know, it's just like, let's say you have a big program and there'll be some celebrities or some big, you know, VIPs there. You're in the same place as them. You're there, they're there, you can see them, they have their people, but they're interacting with a certain group, not you. With you in general, but not in specific. You know, and when the program's over, they and their associates leave and you're still there. So, does that make sense? So when the program goes apricot, if you haven't come to prema, then you go to the next prakat lila, and then start, you're at 1/10, and now you got to 50%, then the next one you'll be at 50%, then there's a good chance you'll get to 100%. But the point is why waste time? But if it's a matter of, oh, it doesn't matter, Krishna or Vishnu or this or that, then you got a problem. Then you could end up anywhere. You know. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So, network?
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Okay, the difference in the worship is supported by the use of the word eva. Thus, difference in the worship is directly indicated. The word sarva bhavena in relation to worship of Paramama actually means by employing all the senses rather than with complete bhava or prema. So we see here is when they say difference in the worship is directly indicated, that means bhava or prema. Right? It doesn't mean necessarily the external form. The 16 items are used everywhere. If you're worshipping the Lord, 16 items are used. Whether you're in the material platform, whether you're in Vaikuntha, whether you're in Goloka, whether you're in Braj. 16 items is the standard. Does that make sense? But it'll be with a particular mood. Therefore, the one is the paraphernalia that's the main prominent. And then and Vrindavan, then it'll be the bhava, prema, that's the prominent. But, yeah, because we're emphasizing that, no one notices. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let's say, you have the guys, they're all standing around, they got their, you know, you mentioned before, their motorbikes and all that. It's about the motorbikes. Their identity is the motorbike. And so you notice the bike. And there happens to be some guy sitting on the back of it. Right? Then you have the guy who's the hero, and it doesn't matter what bike he's riding on, it doesn't matter. It's what he's doing. You're noticing that. Even though he may have a better bike than those guys, the bikers. Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is you don't necessarily. The emphasis is on what he's doing. He is the person is what's special. It happens to be being done on the bike. While the other guys, it's about the bike, and they happen to be sitting on the bike. Right? Does that make sense? So in Vaikuntha, then, it's about the paraphernalia being used because he's grand, he's opulent, so all the opulence, and that becomes a prominent. So you think they're more opulent. But Vrindavan's way more opulent than Vaikuntha. But because it's all about Krishna and the love between the devotees, the opulence that's used is not the focal point. But in Vaikuntha, you see, it's always describing about the opulence. Well, Braj is always talking about sweetness. But you don't. There's no description in Vaikuntha of trees made out of crystal. You know, or something. There's none. Braj has none. You know, it's more of just a unique feature. It's not like, oh, it's so opulent. But, you know, it has ruby fruits and emerald leaves. And these are actual trees. You know, so the opulence of Vrindavan is so much greater. But it's not about the opulence. It's about the sweetness, and these articles are used for Krishna. So whatever Krishna likes, that's what's there. And in Vaikuntha, because then it's about the grandness and all that, then it'll have that grandeur element. But it's not that it's any... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, let's say, someone likes nice furniture. Right? So you have two people, they like nice furniture. Then they take that furniture, put it in their house. So one, you go in, it's very, very, formal. You know, everything's in its right place, and you get the best thing, and you know, this and this, you can really appreciate that furniture piece here and all that, and that there, its usefulness, and all these different things like that. And, you know, the environment is very formal, it's very nice, and it looks very good, and you notice, wow, look at all this, what's here. But let's say the other person takes it, he just likes well-designed aesthetic stuff, and so he puts it in his house and that, but it's more of a home environment and more relaxed kind of environment and all that. And it's not about the furniture, it's about that nice furniture just adds to the ambience, while the other places, the nice furniture is the ambience. Does that make sense? So that's Vaikuntha and Braj. It's not that it's any less. In fact, it's greater. But the point is it's not about that. It's just that, you know, the couch is there because you sit on it. While the other one is... Does that make sense? You know, it's like for somebody, oh, it's a Gucci bag. But the other one is just that bag happens to be a very nice, comfortable bag. Everything fits in. You like the fit. You like the this and that. And that's why you use it. You know, if it had been a different company, you would have used that one. But for the other, no, it's got to be Gucci. Does that make sense? You know, so there is that aspect. It's fine. You're dealing with the same things. They have their effect, but it's slightly... Does that make? Yeah.
All these verses are referring to... The 18.6,
61
to
66,
that term.
Oh, okay, so then there the run of verses.
Yes, so the third also is from 18.62. And this, now whatever is quoted is also the same verse. Because this is an explanation to the main text.
Okay. There's six verses in the 18th chapter. Those last six.
There are six verses out. These are the last six which Krishna spoke.
Mm-hmm. And so within that, there's a difference between the tat and the mud.
Yeah, because 18.62, when Krishna is referring to tat, he's referring to the Paramatma.
Okay.
But when he's referring to mud, then he's referring
then
to
is that, himself. And then Sarvadharma.
Yeah, the next verse is about.
Okay. Oh, Rahasya Shloki. I think that's the other one. Charan Shloki and Rahasya. So those two verses have names. But which is which, I don't remember. Okay. By indicating the secondary and primary forms of worship, the interpretation that one should worship the Lord as everything, which is tinged with jnana, is rejected. So the primary is that proper mood and attitude. The secondary is the particular paraphernalia that's used. Right? Like that. So this thing is that no, everything, the Lord is everything. That's rejected as the highest, because that doesn't have the primary form in its fullest. You're taking it as the absolute, but you haven't come to the point of Krishna. Like that. So on that point, because the secondary will be still the same. Yeah. Purva Paksha. The verses also show that worship of Paramatma, devotion, leads to attaining the place of the Lord. Tat prasadat param shantim stanam prapsyasi shasvatam. By my mercy you will attain the eternal spiritual abode. Thus there is no different object of worship. There is no difference in object. There is no different object of worship Oh, okay. There's no difference in the object of worship designating one statement as indirect and the other direct. So that's the doubt. Because he's saying that by worshiping him, you'll go to the spiritual world. So therefore, there's no difference in the object. Therefore, you can't say there's primary and secondary. That's the doubt.
Because this is the verse referring to the Paramatma. Tatparasada Param. 18.62 this is.
Okay. So this is the tat.
Yes.
So the other one is mud bhaktin labhate param.
Yes.
That's the mud. That's the mud. So are you a tat body or a Uttara. By such interpretation, one restricts the meanings of the words. This is against ancient and modern views of the meaning. If one has never heard of anything superior to Antaryami, but scripture says there is something higher, then that entity is supreme in all conditions, right? Just because we haven't heard of it doesn't mean that it doesn't work. So that's generally what we do, because we'll have that mood that I am, what do you call it? You know, whatever I'm doing is always the best, is always the superior. And so then, therefore, I haven't heard of it, therefore, then it can't be something more. Like we saw with Gotama's son. Right? He became insulted that when someone started to ask him about spiritual topics, but he didn't know about it. Right? Because he had been at the Gurukul, but he had pride and he hadn't shown any interest, so his guru hadn't taught him. He had learned all the rituals, he had learned everything like that. So he knew a lot. Technically, he was very, very knowledgeable. You know, such that, you know, he did in that way by having just that technical understanding and that scholarship, you know, qualify himself, you could say, as Gotama's son. But he had no interest in the spiritual, so he was not taught that. So then when the king asked him about that, then, and he knew nothing of the subject, he thought that the king's just asking stupid things to, you know, make us look like a fool, so he got insulted. But then his father then pointed out, no, by the question he asked, you can understand, he already knows more than we know. Because he wasn't just asking a basic question, he was asking a technical point on an advanced position in devotional service. So then Gotama and the sages that were there, they went to the king and asked, please teach us this. And he says, I can't be your guru, you know, because you're the sages and I'm a kshatriya, you know, general content is there. Because he was in that humble position. But, you know, you stay here, I'll take care, you know, everything will be provided. And every day we'll discuss it. Whatever I know, I will discuss that with you. But scripture says there's something higher, then that entity is supreme in all conditions. So if you say there's Paramatma and by him you'll get liberated and go to the spiritual world like that, but there's something higher, that means that in all conditions he's higher, not just in this condition or in that person. No, it's always like that. So that's the thing. Otherwise, the tendency will be to try to interpret the different verses according to your situations and things like that and make them relative to ourselves. So I want this, so everything's relative to that. I want the heavenly planets, so God is relative to that. So that's why then they're not considered devotees, because even though they're worshiping Vishnu, Vishnu is relative to their worship. I'm going to the heavenly planets. It requires this worship. That worship requires worshiping Vishnu. But the worship of Vishnu is only in the context of in its relativeness to its function in getting me to the heavenly planets. So they're not considered devotees. Even though you ask them, they'll say they're Vaishnava or this or that. But in actuality, because they're not sampradayic, you know, coming from the Vaishnavacharyas, and that aspect of pure devotion, therefore they're not devotees, they're pious. And from that, by association with pure devotees, then they can easily, you know, adjust, because all they have to do is adjust that mentality. Their whole lifestyle, their worship, everything they do is already, you know, centered in connection with the Lord. So they just have to add that. So, yeah. So that's why it's recommended. And so then it'll be so easy. Because you see, those who come from outside that, it's much harder. At least for them, they'll have no difficulty with the cultural and all these different things, the religious aspects of devotional service. Because all they've done is change from the secondary to the primary. The secondary remains as it is. But if you're living only in secondary, there is no primary. So the secondary that we're using, if it has any elements that are useful, you know, it's just like we eat, or we sleep, or we breathe air. Those remain. What we're eating, how we're sleeping, you know, and these and things, that might have to be adjusted, you know, in the detail of it. So we take the detail as the main thing. And so then it becomes a difficulty. So the primary is there, we can be convinced of that. But then the problem is that the variety and the detail, that will be a stumbling block, or can become a stumbling block. So that's why the Vedas will recommend that they do. They have guru, they follow scriptures, they have a particular line, their guru has a guru, and all these kind of things. Then there's a sadhana, you know, you do these sadhana in the morning and evening, and you know, there's common basic fundaments for everybody following the Vedas. Right? Does that make sense? Because then it makes it easier. But at the same time, is because it's working so nicely, their problem will be switching from secondary to primary. But they won't have any problem with the secondary. Well, those outside, they don't have any idea that these others, it's just a matter of the material, primary, or spiritual. Once they switch to that, then that gets very, but they'll may have problem with the secondary. Somebody says the religious aspects. Yeah. So here is that all conditions, you never make Krishna relative to our position. Right? We see our position, but we have to see as our position is in context of Krishna's. Means because it's personal, we have to see the vyasthyasa, where we are and how I'm going to connect everything to Krishna, to be engaged in Krishna's service. But it has to be seen in that context. It's about Krishna. But if we make it about ourselves and then try to adjust everything to that, then that's not very complete. It's not universal. Yeah. Difference between Paramatma and Bhagavan is indicated in the following. Sadhi bhutadi daivam mam sadhi yagyam chaye vidhu Prayana kalepi chamam te vidhur yukta chetasaha. Those who know me, Krishna, to be the Lord of sacrifice, matter, and the universal form, being fixed in knowledge, will know me even at the time of death. Bhagavad Gita 7:30. According to Saha Yukte Pradane, Panini 2:3:17. Krishna indicates that Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, and Adi Yajna accompany the main element, Krishna, since the word Sa, representing Saha, indicates that the objects listed are secondary. Right? Because you say Saha, or Sa means with Krishna, Saha, Krishna, Sa, and that this means this one with that. Does that make sense? They accompany. Does that make sense?
Sanskrit is...
No, but I'm saying the concept.
Oh, yeah.
You have the... It's like... you're going to have... falafels with some, you know, how you say, the tahini and hummus and some salad and some other things like that. They go with. Because if you have those and there's no falafels, you don't call it falafel.
Yeah.
Right? It's just sauces. Now, what are you going to eat that with? So that's the whole point, is that all these things, Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, and Adi Yajna, they go with Krishna. On their own, what's the meaning?
I mean, practically we see that how psychology works just because of a habit. It's unintentional.
Right.
Say, for example, there's a program dedicated to Srila Prabhupada.
Right.
And people speak about Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
But if we watch carefully, they speak of Srila Prabhupada in the context of themselves. The main topic, very few can concentrate like net on Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
But most everybody, and it's so subtle, you don't really feel it, but it is there if you particularly looking for that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you see it's within seconds people just start talking about themselves, and then Srila Prabhupada is there.
Mm-hmm.
And of course with Bhagavatam, because Srila Prabhupada, in a sense, it's more it's a more close concept to us, although we as a second generation never met Srila Prabhupada, but still we feel like tightly connected because of his disciples and the teachings and everything. But Krishna is even more remote concept.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak during Bhagavatam or during any Krishna Katha, it's not that easy. Because we put him, but here it explains it's with Krishna, but Krishna should be the main.
Mm-hmm.
But to be focused on that, we have to train our mind. Actually, we have to make a conscious endeavor in the beginning, and then it will develop with the time. But we see in a dance canto, the residents of Vrindavan, it everything is about Krishna and themselves. Yeah. It doesn't matter if I was there, it happened to me, it didn't happen to me, I wasn't there. It's about Krishna as a person.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, even you see this in the Brahma Gita, then Radharani's talking about how Krishna's in Vrindavan and you're enjoying it with all the days like that, and you're kind of like, it's still focused on Krishna.
Yeah.
Like that. And then, because they're an individual, then that how they're related to Krishna. It doesn't reverse. Kubja reverses. That's why it's Samanya.
Yeah.
And then the queens is half-half.
Yeah.
The gopis, then it's fully about Krishna. Mm-hmm. Their relationship, but it's still about Krishna. Yeah, no, it's very, very subtle.
Maharaj. And I observed that to discuss these concepts and points when we are in a good mood is very easy. When a person actually goes through some difficult times, or he is not in a proper position, no matter how much ever we try, they cannot understand the basic concepts also. Because when there's too much into their fixed in their own.
Yes. Ramana was making a point very strongly, on liberation. Now we're not interested in karma, and I think the verse was talking about liberation. After the class, and then one devotee was so much in anxiety about that, but will we be released from the material world? Because she was just saying her life is so miserable, she just wants to know if she'll get away from that, out of that in Krishna consciousness. So it becomes very, So she didn't like putting too much emphasis on that, because it hadn't, hadn't come to the point of taste yet, so that then you can let go of the liberation part, as taste comes up.
I think that's the reason these points are very much emphasized only later levels. Initial, they're there, they're mentioned.
But not
if you want to catch, you catch. Otherwise.
Yeah.
It disturbs many people's minds, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you have to be careful. Yes.
This point is confirmed in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. I think Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains. When Yudhishthira came to Bhishma, who was on the bed of arrows, and he heard those instructions, but Vishwanath mentions that previously he already heard the same exact instructions twice, once from Narada and once from Krishna. Mm-hmm. But because his mind was disturbed because of the situation they were in, mm-hmm. before war and this and that, he didn't penetrate his consciousness.
There was no assimilation.
Yeah. So he already heard it twice, but he couldn't actually, he heard, but he couldn't hear. So then when he came to Bhishma, then he was in that state that he could actually accept it. Mm.
So you have the thing of another way, really, Shravana Manana Nididhyasana, you mentioned, is that you're hearing about it, you know, so you're gaining the knowledge. But then the second, the manana, is assimilation. Because in there, it's that you're contemplating the knowledge, applying the knowledge, so that way you can assimilate it. So that means he couldn't assimilate it before then, he couldn't apply it. You know, he probably had no doubts about it. He had the knowledge, but he was unable to assimilate, because only when you assimilate, then you get, with that realization, then you get the taste. Because realization will say is you have a value in it, so there's a taste in it. You have a value because of the taste. Okay. Okay. Krishna indicates that Adi Bhuta, Adi Daiva, Adi Yajna accompany the main element. Krishna, since the word sa representing saha indicates the objects listed are secondary, they are not the principal element. This shows that Krishna is different from Adi Yajna, Paramatma. That is the meaning when Krishna says, Adi Yajnoham Evatra, I am also Paramatma, Bhagavad Gita 8.4. It is like the statement, Esha Vai Bhagavan Drona Praja Rupena Vartate. Drona exists as the form of his son. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.45. The form of the son is secondary. I am also Paramatma. So in a sense, it's not going this way, it's going the other way. We'll take, oh, he's also Paramatma. But it's not, so Paramatma is expanding from him. Thus, in the 18th chapter, different instructions are given to indicate different objects of worship. Esha tu vati varati ya satyena ti varati. He who is an ativati, vadi of satya, is a real ativati. Chandogya Upanishad 7.16.1. Got that?
No.
So now you know.
Who is ativati?
An ativati is a real ativati if they're an ativati of satya.
In general.
The word ativati means by surpass, it surpasses all things explained previously. Next sentence.
Yes, means he's surpassed all. Like you could say, it's like we had that discussion in the court of
Janaka.
Yeah. Then they were, you know, at some point in, you know, who's the greatest scholar amongst everyone there, and Vishwamitra was there. And so, you know, different discussions go around, it finally comes down to Vishwamitra. You know, others, someone can ask a question they don't know, but then they get to the point of Vishwamitra. It doesn't matter what they ask and how, you know, in this Veda, in this Brahmana, in this section, and here, then, you know, these, you know, really, really detailed, he knew everything, all the details. So then after all the sages had asked questions, and they had no more questions. So then Janaka, you know, as a formality, then says, so does anybody else have a question for Vishwamitra? You know, because otherwise he'll be established as the greatest scholar. So then at that point, Gargi, then she stood up and says, I have a question. You know, because otherwise the sages are speaking, why she'll speak? So she asked him something about spiritual, you know, about Brahman. He knew nothing. And there's, again, that thing is kind of like, you know, where is this topic coming from? Like that. So he was starting to get agitated. You know? And so then Gargi just announced he's the greatest, you know, with anybody in the assembly, you know, like this and that, you know, just, you know, glorifying and all that. So she and Janaka knew she was actually the greatest amongst men. Like that, that's why she's, because this is from Brahma Sutras. This example is given in Brahma Sutras. So then they knew, but no one else knew. They didn't know anything beyond just what the Veda is talking about in the context of ritual or even up to maybe, you know, some aspects. They didn't know beyond. So that's the point, is that he may be the greatest Ativadi, but the Ativadi of Satya, so in other words, in that assembly, then Janaka Raj and Gotami. Was it Gotami or did I say?
Gargi.
Gargi. They were the actual real Ativadis.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Shri Prabhupada.